This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We're joined in studio by John Hunter and Chris Farina. John, you are a teacher at Venable Elementary here
That's
in the
right.
city.
That's right.
And Chris is a filmmaker. And Chris, tell us why you're here. First of all, what projects you're working on, I guess, is the best place to start.
Sure.
And what John has to do with that.
Sure. Well, a mutual acquaintance, Sam Crespi, introduced me to John and his work at Venable. And what John has created, and he can talk about it more, but over his 28 years of teaching, he created this thing called the World Peace Game, which is this kind of role-playing game for these fourth graders. It's been dealt with all ages, but at Venable, it's these fourth graders. And what they do is they take on the roles of fictional countries and have to deal with a myriad set of issues and try to resolve conflicts economically, environmentally, politically, culturally. And it's really an amazing thing. And I came in and was introduced to it, and it's just one of those things where intrinsically I could see the film. And what I was looking at was a really wonderful teacher and really engaged students. And just to try to capture that process of a teacher having the children in his hands and a really compassionate hands as he guides them through the learning was something that was very inspiring and wanted me to make the film.
Well, I have a trillion questions, and I don't really know where to start. But I want to just remind the audience that as always, you help me do the interview. 977-1070 would love to have you join us. John, you are in charge of the gifted program at Venable. Tell us about this program, where the idea came from, this World Peace Game, what it is, how it plays out, and the impact that you've seen over the years among your students.
Sure. At Venable, the program's called the Quest Program for Gifted and Talented Students. And I've been teaching for about 30 years almost, actually, Coy. It's been a long time, but I first started this game actually at the beginning of my career. The first job interview I had, the supervisor for gifted, at that time there wasn't much material for gifted students. I asked, what should I do at the interview? And the supervisor said, well, what would you like to do? And so with that, I was off and running, and it's been that way ever since. The game was actually part of a curriculum at a middle school, middle and high school for gifted students. We were doing a unit on African studies, and I wanted to figure some way to engage the students kinesthetically, excuse me, to have them move and not just think and sit. So we created a board, a flat surface, about a 4x4 surface, and put some little game pieces on it. And then we based it in Africa. We were studying Africa at the time. And I just found a number of problems that the countries in Africa were having. So we plotted out some problems for the kids to solve in teams representing each of the countries. And that developed over the 28 or so years into this huge structure. It's actually a 4x4x4 plexiglass structure. There are four planes of glass with hundreds of game pieces now. There are rods at each of the corners and one through the center holding the whole structure up. And about 30 kids are around this thing and play it. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks to play. It's pretty intense. We've got multiple streams of overlapping, interconnected, simultaneous data and military situations, economic, social things going on.
For fourth graders?
These are fourth graders.
For folks who don't know, that's about 9 years old, right?
That's 9 years old. I started with high school students, and with the gifted program, I found that we could work the game down to the fourth grade level. And it was pretty engaging in high school. Those students even actually created their own crisis situations after a while. The game is about 50 crises, and the students have to solve all 50 crises simultaneously over the 8 or 10 weeks without or with the minimum amount of combat if possible. They do get a little bit of Sun Tzu, the ancient Chinese general's work. We look at Clausewitz a little bit, Karl von Clausewitz, the Prussian military theorist, just to give them some background. But they solve these problems, and they have to increase their country's asset value. There's the United Nations in the game, World Bank, arms dealers, mercenaries, and there's also a saboteur or a confusion agent, as we call it. This person's job is to create ambiguities, irrelevancies, but nobody knows who it is. So you really got to discern by listening carefully to every conversation during negotiation periods as to what's going on.
And this is a game for 9-year-olds at Venable Elementary School, if you're just joining us. It sounds like something that would be playing out at the graduate level at UVA.
Well, we'd like to think so. The high school students really gave us a run for the money, and the student input over the years has helped to develop and modify the game to a really refined level, I think. There are now about, I'm in my 10th generation of crises. There's about 50 different crises that I have the students engage simultaneously. So it's pretty intense, and the kids are sweating. They're not quite shouting, but they get very emotional. And yet this aspect of doing it without combat is really the challenging part. How do you create a world out of chaos without using force? And that's really the philosophical issue they deal with.
One of our nation's best teachers, John Hunter of Venable Elementary, is in studio, and local filmmaker Chris Farina. And Chris, folks are going to remember you primarily locally from West Main Street, movie you did about a decade ago.
That's
which
right.
Remind folks again what that was about.
Well, I made it along with a local filmmaker, Reed Urshlin, and really it was just a portrait of a roadside setting. It took West Main Street and used that place to explore Charlottesville's history of the last century, basically told through the words, the stories of residents.
Yeah. And tell us how you're approaching this, making a film about this very unique student experience here in Charlottesville that I'm guessing is nationally unique. I'm not guessing that this is going on at other schools.
We invented it in 78, actually, so it's one of a kind.
And this film will be one of a kind as a result. How are you approaching it? What has been your thoughts on it? And tell me first, when it's really started to gel for you and you started to see it started to come to life in your head.
It sounds like a cliche. It came to life the first day I saw it. I mean, because for me, I'm not an educator. As a filmmaker, what I was particularly interested in was the emotion and just the expression of children as they learn with a teacher. That by itself is worth making a film on. Just to try to capture a little bit of the heart and soul of that process is what drew me. As it comes along, it's going to be fascinating when we get to the edit because it's a pretty complicated situation because these children, 30 of them at a time, are negotiating a myriad set of issues as we wade into the crowd trying to capture what's going on. Mm-hmm. What probably will be the backbone of the film will be both John's presence as a teacher and also to try to really get to know, I mean, we can't get to know all 30 children as strong individuals, but to choose 4 or 5 or 6 and follow them through the process and just watch how they evolve from really children in a neighborhood to start becoming citizens of the world. And that's what I think will be the arc of the film, is that transformation of these children.
Yeah, it sounds really exciting. And, of course, John, this is a transformation that you've seen happen over the years. Tell us about that, what you see. I'm curious the reaction from the kids when they first sit down and you show them this big thing.
It is.
And here's what we can do with this, and here's where we're going with this. What's been the reaction over the years initially, and what is the arc that you've seen that I'm sure Chris is going to capture magnificently in his film?
Well, the beautiful thing is the beautiful moment for me is to see the kids when we're not at play, when they come by the classroom just to sit and look at the game. They interact with it in some way, spatially, tactily, I guess. They sit and just ponder for moments at a time. It's a beautiful thing to watch because you can see almost literally their minds flexing on different levels in different issues simultaneously, and they're trying to resolve these things by themselves and then bring them back to the team. So over the years, it's been fascinating because I think the most interesting thing has been my girls have been the strongest military commanders. Which,
really?
9-year-old girls
cool.
calling in airstrikes. Yeah, 9-year-old girls with armor and tanks is a pretty amazing thing to watch. But the philosophical issues that come up, we've had 9-year-old girl commanders who initiated a small war. And, of course, everybody's upset. What are you doing? This is a world peace game. You're trying to start a combat here. And come to find out a few rounds of the game later that by doing this, this commander, this young girl, had averted a much larger global conflict. By doing this, we had to stop and discuss philosophically, was that right or was that not right? We had to really try and discern, and I think they stumble into what we call the gray area, and that life is bigger than just black and white. And this is a really great concept I like to try and get across. We learn concrete thinking skills, but we're trying to apprehend this huge universe of possibilities, and it's very difficult if we're latched into or locked onto one way of thinking. So that's been a really beautiful thing. In the game, for example, lately, as one example, we have a religious and ethnic minorities, the Kajazi people, and these people are they've inherited a piece of land that's a huge oil reserve in a country that's very rich in oil, and they've got the biggest piece of it. They want their own homeland. They want to break away and be independent. And so the king, the self-proclaimed king of the Kajazis, is trying to petition the United Nations to get this piece of land for their homeland. And, of course, the mother country doesn't want to let it go. He's offering deals to other countries. If you'll sell them oil, they'll support him in this struggle against the mother country. So you've got these conflicts within countries as well as between countries going on, too. That's been kind of a unique thing. And finally, the update we try and do is we try and keep current. I watched the New Yorker magazine article recently on the water crisis in the world. So we have countries that deal with pumping water to water their farmlands, but the aquifers they're drawing water from actually are underneath the neighboring country across the border. And so the aquifers are getting drained. So we've got some problems there. It's a pretty serious situation.
And they play as teams, is that right?
They're country teams. They're cabinets. There's prime minister, secretary of state, secretary of trade and commerce, the defense minister, and a comptroller who handles the budget. And so they work together as a team. And then during negotiation periods between their actual declarations, they're free to move about the room and negotiate with any and all parties and make treaties, alliances, declare war, whatever they like to do. They can do anything they want. The question is, what are the consequences? And what are the results of your actions on all levels?
School teacher John Hunter is our guest in studio on Charlottesville right now, and local filmmaker Chris Farina, who is at work on a film about the world peace game they play at Venable Elementary. Tell me about the experience of bringing a camera into a room of 9-year-olds.
That was amazing. I had this whole kind of strategy. We have a great crew, DP Gene Rhodes out of Richmond, and then local sound man Ben Clore is primarily the crew, and then a couple wonderful helpers, Will May and Kyle Copas. And what I had this whole strategy of trying to be pretty respectful of the students, of laying low, kind of keeping the camera back until they got used to us. Within 15 minutes, that was no longer an issue. I think partially because probably the younger generation is pretty savvy, much more so than I would be. I know I'd be completely affected by a camera sitting there as I'm trying to figure out an issue. But the other thing is they're so engaged in this process that there is barely a look at the camera as they're trying to figure out whatever conflict they're working on at the time. So it's been a beautiful thing because it's been no issue whatsoever. So we can get as much as we can wade through 30 children, we can get within feet away, and we're not affecting the process at all. And that's remarkable to me.
You have to hand it to them, Chris. We call the crew the ninja crew because they weave in and out with these camera packs and sound packs on, and the kids don't even notice, and the kids just, excuse me, I've got to talk to this person over here. It's amazing how the crew is so professional. They can just sort of be invisible. Really.
Gene and Ben are great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They really are.
And so tell us, where are we now with the project, the nuts and bolts of what's going on? Because, of course, everybody's out there thinking, well, when can we see this?
That's depending on funding, as always. The process is such as the game is going on now and will go on until early to mid-December. So essentially, we're covering the entire process. So our shooting, basic production should end when the game ends, which is mid-December. At that point, it's a step away, and certainly will be an attempt to get funding to finish the film. I mean, if everything went well, I don't know if that's ever a possibility, but if it did, we would be editing over the winter and probably spring, and certainly would have it ready by the start of the next school year, by next September.
And perhaps ready for the Virginia Film Festival next fall, ideally.
Sure. And a wonderful showing for Venable. The school system in general, the Charlottesville school system, Superintendent Atkins, her staff, the school, the children, the parents have really been supportive. So there's no question there is a big premiere of celebration and thanks for those people.
Yeah. Now, how can folks get in touch with you? Because I know when you're making a film, $5 helps, $10, $100, or if somebody really would like to really help make this thing happen, sure. How can they reach you?
Well, it's a nonprofit donation.
we're approaching the end of the year, tax time?
That's right. Simply, I'm local. They could call me at 979-4800 and talk. I mean, I can certainly give them my email. Is that okay?
Sure, yeah.
It's chris.farina@adelphia.net. And either way, I'd be happy to talk to people about it.
And that's Chris.Farina, F-A-R-I-N-A.
That's right.
At Adelphia.net. And the number again?
979-4800.
4800. And, John, real quick, where we are with the game. What's going on right now as we speak?
Wow. Well, the country, we call them the hippies with guns, basically, because they're dedicated to environmental issues. They have solar collectors, wind generators, and hydroelectric power. They use some fossil fuels, but they're trying to get away from it. They have surrounded a nearby island with an endangered species on it, a microscopic life form that belongs to another country. They have invaded territorial waters of this other country to protect this species, and we've got a situation on our hands now. That's one of the main crises at the moment, but I would say the kids have really shied away from a lot of aggressive combat. We haven't had a lot of ordnance go off in this particular game because the kids do have to consider a new factor we've added in. That is, if they engage in combat and lose any troops or any forces, they now have to write a letter to the parents of the troops that were lost, explaining and offering condolences and so forth. I think it's given them pause philosophically to think about the action of engaging in combat and aggression, even in a defensive posture, that lives are at risk. And I think it's a deeper impact to have that aspect of the game in there now.
Did you see students of previous generations years back more willing to wage war?
Oh, we've had some aggressive. Generally, the little guys come and they want to immediately blow things up. You know? But we had one situation where one aggressive fellow forced some alliances, and he had a huge staff because he'd merged his country with other countries. I think he had about 6 or 7 girls on his staff. And he was bullying in the last country, the last holdout. And the girls decided to stage a coup. And you stop the game whenever there's a coup d'etat attempt. And the first coup participant went down. She lost the coin toss and didn't take the government over. But they had arranged for the second girl to step up and attempt another one if they failed. They did that 6 times, and they took this guy down.
Whoa!
Amazing strategy.
John Hunter of Venable Elementary, The World Peace Game, and Chris Farina, local filmmaker. The movie is in progress. Chris.Farina@Adelphia.net if you'd like to help make this film happen. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Corey.
Please stay in touch as watch this thing unfold.
And thanks a lot, Corey.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.